I left you in Acts chapter 27 is actually where I left off at. And it just seems like that this story, even though it's a familiar story to me, it just kept going over my mind. And by the time we get to Acts chapter 28, I've got to kind of tell you what happened in Acts chapter 27 so it gets you up to speed. Paul is on his way to Rome. He's going there. He's a prisoner, and they're getting ready to board a ship, and Paul says we shouldn't go. It's the wrong time. There's storms that are coming. But the owner of the ship says, we're going to go ahead and sail anyway. They didn't listen to the preacher. You know, that kind of reminds me of some of the messes we get ourselves in. We want to go ahead and do it our way. We don't want to listen to the preacher. We don't want to listen to somebody that's given us good and sound doctrinal advice. We want to come to the preacher after our marriage is already in shambles. We've already got things in a mess, and we want to come to the preacher and say, what do we do now to fix it? Well, they got out in the ship, and the storm got to raging. And the Apostle Paul stood up. And it's just my own words. He says, I told you so. But he said, I was visited by an angel of the Lord tonight. And as long as everybody stays on the ship, we're going to be okay. Don't anybody get off of the ship. Don't anybody abandon the boat. I could stop right there and preach. We're on the old gospel ship. Don't get off. It may be storms, and it may be the winds are raging. The seas may get rough, but stay on the boat. We finally get down to Acts chapter 27 and verse 43, 276 passengers on board. And the Bible says, but the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they all escaped safe to land. Last week I told you that sometimes the vessel gets broken. Sometimes we find ourselves in a mess. But I found out that even broken pieces of the ship still float, Brother Dave. You could get a hold of a piece and just hang on. Not one of the 276 lives on board that ship that day perished. Why? Because they stayed on board and held on to broken pieces. Your life may be a mess, but God can still use you. You say, I'm broken. I'm good to nobody. All throughout scriptures, God used broken things. I want you to look at something with me in Acts chapter 28, and this is actually where I'm going to be preaching from. And it said, and when they were escaped, and they knew that the island was called Melita, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness. For they kindled a fire and received us every one, because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks, he laid them on the fire, and there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he had escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. What he done was just the original shake and bake. We got meth dealers that think they come up with that, Brother Virgil. The Apostle Paul come up with it long before they did. And they just took it and twisted it around and made something bad out of it when it was intended to be something good. Shake the old devil off in the fire. And this verse 6 is where I plan on preaching from. He said, howbeit they looked, and when he should have swollen and fallen down dead suddenly, but after they had looked a great while, they saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. They went from, this man is an axe murderer, to he's a god. They didn't have chainsaws back then. He was an axe murderer. And it said in the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also, which had diseases in the island, came and were healed, who also honored us with many honors. And when we departed, they laded us with such things as was necessary. They took up a love offering and gave the Apostle Paul and all the ship members, all the crew members, to see them safely on their voyage to Rome. I want you to get this picture. They're shipwrecked on an island. They're wet and they're cold. The natives, they build a fire. And Paul begins to gather some wood for the fire, and he gets snake bit. If it wasn't for bad luck, we got a few people that's watched T-Hall. You younger generation, go home and Google it when you get home. We got a diehard over here. I mean, think about it. He's a prisoner. He's shipwrecked. He just got bitten by a snake. He's cold. He's wet. They're looking. This man should be, is this his last breath? I mean, he just took a deep one. Is he getting ready to fall over? They know the snake, but they don't know Paul. This man has had a run of bad luck. He's in a bad strait. The island, the chief of the island, Publius, invites him into his home. His father is sick. The Apostle Paul lays hands on him and prays for him, and God miraculously heals Publius' father. There's a revival breaks out. Where do you get? They brought many others in, and Paul prayed for them, and they received their healing. Whatever they needed, they received. But I want you to look at what verse number 6 says. But after they had looked a great while, they changed their minds. That's what I'm preaching about this morning. They changed their mind. You know, that's really I believe that's the purpose of the church today, is to try to get people saved, isn't it? Get them to change their mind. You know, in order to change your mind, there has to be some thought process that takes place. I was wrong about this. I was wrong about that. And whenever we change our minds, then we can change our heart. You know, Jesus, in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17, the first sermon Jesus ever preached, the Bible says, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." You know what? That word repent, the Greek word there is metanoia. M-E-T-A-N-O-I. It's a Greek word that means simply this: change your mind. When we change our mind, we can change our heart. I've seen people come to the altar and they go through a sinner's prayer and they repeat after me, they repeat after the minister. I tell you what, that's not it. You can say the words, but until you get the mind fixed, until you change the mind and say, there is something more to this, there is something here that is, then we'll never change our heart. Once we figure salvation out, we get our mind set, our mind changed, then the next thing that we need to do is sanctification. Don't get quiet on me. That is a biblical word. Matter of fact, the same guy here that shook off the snake in the fire wrote this. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. He says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." The only problem we find with people presenting their bodies as a living sacrifice, we get them on the altar and they try to squirm off. It's not as easy to do as what you think it is. "Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed." This is how you do it. "By the renewing of your mind." Carly and Nathaniel brought up the little Nathaniel this morning. Little George. I may just call him Little George from now on. It's going to take a change of the mind to raise that child up in the way he should go. It's going to take a mindset that I have, a renewing of the mind, that I'm going to determine, I'm going to make an effort to bring that child to church and to raise him up in the fear and admiration of a holy God. I'm going to show him the way. I'm going to live a life in front of him to where he knows right from wrong. And the third thing that we need to do as Christians, once we get saved and once we get sanctification figured out, we need to learn to serve him. Boy, the more I got to studying on this about mind changing your mind, the deeper it got. Look with me, if you will, in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 1. It said, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind." There it is again. "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. There it is again. And let each esteem other better than themselves. And look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being born in the being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took on the form upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. It is important that the mind be changed. But the more I got to looking at this, the more questions I had, Brother Isaac. How did the Apostle Paul get them to change their mind? The Apostle Paul was of the tribe of Benjamin. That is the elite of the elitist. I mean, if you was of the tribe of Benjamin, you could hold your... I mean, that was the higher class of all the tribes of Israel. Being able to say that I am of the tribe of Benjamin, Paul was there. He professed of himself that he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was educated at the foot of Gamaliel. He had more degrees than a thermostat. He spoke multiple languages. Believed to have wrote 13 books of the New Testament. He was a prince of preachers. He had excellent speaking ability. He's the one that stood that day at Athens on Mars Hill, looked out across in the garden of all the gods that they had there and found the God of the unknown God and said, let me tell you about this unknown God, and begin to preach to them about Jesus Christ. He was a man that knew how to handle himself. He's cold, he's wet. And what got my attention was it wasn't his speaking ability. It wasn't his past degrees. It was the fact that Paul had went through some stuff. And Paul just kept on going. He went through some things that was supposed to have killed him. The shipwreck, the cold, the wet, the venomous snake. And Paul just shook it off and kept going. He could have stood there that day and told them that five different times that I stood before the Jews and they beat me with stripes 39 times. He could have told them that I've been three times I was beaten with rods. He could have said one time I was stoned and left for dead. This is not the first shipwreck. Three times I've been shipwrecked. I faced robbers. I faced hunger. I know what it's like to be thirsty. I know what it's like to be naked. Paul didn't tell him about all his past experiences, about all his degrees, his eloquency of speech. Paul, he just kept going. Listen to me. The will of God will never send you where the grace of God will not support you. You may be shipwrecked. You know, I don't know if this is doing for you what it's done for me, but I can remember back in some of my early childhood and some of the teachers. It's not the Sunday school lessons that I remember. I'm not down on teachers, don't get me wrong. I'm not down on singers. But it's the times that they pulled through when they was facing a battle. When they held their head up and did not quit, when they did not give in, but they kept going, they kept lifting their hands in praise and worship and whatever they what should have killed them, they just kept on keeping on. One of my earliest childhood memories in church was Sister Mary Wilson. Brother Virgil, I don't remember a single lesson she taught. I'm being honest. But what I can remember is her taking the time with a little snotty-nosed boy, a little preacher's kid that was ornery, that was undeserving. I can remember her praying. I don't remember what she prayed, but she prayed for me. She loved me. She cared for me. And you know what? She gave me the first Bible I ever owned. I'm talking about things that will change people's mind. Brother Jared, I'm going to use you for an example. I remember you telling me one day about your dad preaching. He'd been preaching, thought, well, he had enough money to, correct me if I'm wrong, but he had enough money to get to where he was going to minister. He got there, preached, he thought, well, they'll take up an offering and I'll have enough gas money I can get home. Brother Roger Gavitt pulled up to a gas station. They took up no offering that night at church for him. He didn't know what he was going to do. Pulled up to a gas station, and there was an old long-haired hippie come out of the crowd. I'm sure knowing your dad, he probably had already developed an opinion. I mean, by the looks. I mean, I'm one of the fastest at developing an opinion on first sight. He got out of the car, didn't know what he was going to do. He needed to pump gas, but didn't have any money to pay for it. Who do you think come over there and said, go ahead and fill it up? I think your dad probably had a change of mind real quick. When someone comes in the church and they don't look like what you think they ought to look like, let this mind that is in Christ be in you. When we have a change of mind, we'll start seeing people get saved. We'll start, these was barbarians. I don't know what they look like. The Bible says they was barbarous people in the island of Melita. I'm sure they didn't look like what the Apostle Paul looked like. They probably didn't look like what the other sailors looked like. Their skin color may have even been different. But because Apostle Paul kept going and did not give up, revival broke out. You know, I don't have an education like what the Apostle Paul did. I don't have eloquency of speech. Matter of fact, I done very poorly in English in high school, grade school for that matter. I don't have a typical college degree. If you look it up, the school that I went to shut down, but it shows I've got an associate's degree, and I've done that in 1 year. It was a trade school. I learned how to work on cars. I don't have a college degree. I've never went to seminary. Are you seeing where I'm going with this? Paul stood there that day, shipwrecked, cold and wet. He didn't declare I'm the Hebrew of Hebrews. He didn't declare that I was taught at the foot of Gamaliel, one of the greatest teachers of all times in that day. He didn't talk about his degrees or where he went to seminary, about him spending time in the desert. But his life was an example, a living testimony. And their minds was changed. I don't know who I'm preaching to this morning, but I'm here to tell you that your life is important. Somebody is watching you. You may say, well, I'm not very educated. I don't know a whole lot of scripture. I don't know a lot about the Bible. I don't understand it. Listen to me, you don't have to. All you have to do is let the love of God shine through you. And your life can be a living testimony and change minds. You know what I've got? I've got the same thing Paul had. I've been through some stuff. A degree doesn't matter. I've been through some stuff. I know what the hurting feels like. I know what it's like to lay my head down at night and cry myself to sleep. I know what it's like. I've been there. I'm just a broken vessel that God is using. I'm not perfect, but I'm saved. Stand with me, if you will, this morning. I preached long enough. Maybe you're here this morning, and you just need to come today and shake it off and say, I'm just going to keep on going. I don't have much, Lord, but what I have, will you use it? Will you use my life to be an inspiration to others? I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up. I know sometimes it seems like that if anything can go wrong, it will go wrong. Been there, done that. And I'll tell you what, I'll never give up on God. Never give up. The sun will shine again. It'll be worth it. Hang in there.